You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nightlight. Thanks for joining us tonight on this Monday after a horrible storm. Wasn't that a horrible storm?
You know, so yesterday I went to go get something for my brothers that was there in a storage because I didn't have room for it. And we had like rain, an insane amount of wind, and then hail for a little bit. And then when we actually got to my house, it was snowing. So I was like, I picked the worst day to do this possible.
Yeah, that may be. I mean, we didn't get what they thought we were going to get, though. At least in Marinette, we were supposed to get like 7 inches of snow on Sunday. So we ended up taking my daughter back a day early from her spring break, and Point got it bad. So I'm really hoping that's the last.
Yes.
We'll have to deal with the
wind. I'm hoping.
And it was good. You know, it was kind of a false alarm, but that's better than having it come out of nowhere and not expecting it, like has been the case a couple times this winter, at least on my drive home. But this is Nightlight, folks. You found us. It's great to have you with us tonight on this Monday, March 24th. The first weekend of the NCAA tournament is in the books. The box office underperformed. I hope you had a good weekend. The Wisconsin Badgers did not. Various movies did not. But it was a lovely weekend. You know, overall, I would say those two factors aside, I did drive to Stevens Point. I took my daughter back to college, and I know this is something that I don't know if it drives you as crazy as it drives me, but we stopped at a semi-fast food national chain. I'm not going to say the name of it, but it rhymes with Ipotle.
Okay.
No. I don't know what happens after they train workers. We went into this establishment, again, remain nameless, but their shirts were filthy. They were like the uniform. It's like, do you wash them when you go home? You got to wash your shirt. That's your uniform. You could literally take these shirts, like the old line from Cheers, Cliff says you could put Norm's tie in boiling water and make soup. That's how these shirts were. They had so much food on them. And here's what drives me crazy, too. They tell workers, and we get this at where I get a sandwich occasionally in Marinette too. The workers have rubber gloves on, but they handle money and they don't change their gloves. Like, I don't understand. Like, why are you wearing them? And at this place on Saturday where we went, someone nudged their nose with the glove. It's like, come on.
You don't want a little booger in your food? Or?
Ugh. I don't. I'm crazy that way, but I don't understand. It's like it goes in one ear and out the other. You're in the food industry. You have to practice cleanliness. It has to be clean. It has to be sanitary. I don't get it.
You know, I will say this. I worked at a pizza place for a little over 2 years, and that shirt that I wore, sometimes just in a day it would get filthy like that, just in one day.
Yeah, I suppose. That's fair.
And then I'd go home and wash it. But the one thing I hate about any shirts that you get in the fast food industry, no matter how many times you wash that thing, it still smells bad.
Yeah.
I smelled like a pizza place every time I walked outside with that shirt on, every time I had it on. It was disgusting.
And it's not, I'm not like a lot of, look, I worked at a McDonald's in high school, and you could eat off the floors. It was that clean.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying they're all bad, and you're right. They may have just had a big rush, but I did the thing now, which I do, and when there's room for a tip, I'll say, I'm happy to tip you, but can someone go wipe a table off for us? There were three tables open, and they were disgusting, and they said, oh, yeah, right away. I mean, if you bring their attention to it, they'll do it, and they're nice about it, but I shouldn't have to do that.
No.
The floor was gross. I mean, it was, they either had busfuls of traveling young athletes coming through and they trash the place, or they're just not getting it done.
You know, I worked at a sub place too, and I was so bad at making subs that they put me on duty of just cleaning tables and doing the,
did you do that
like
on purpose?
The soda machines and stuff. I mean, I maybe could have done it, you know, but they put me on dish duty. So that kinda,
I think you could
that
have
was
made,
worse.
I think you could have made a sandwich if you put your mind to it. But sometimes that's funny when you go in and it says Subway sandwich artist and there's mustard and there's orange marmalade or whatever. It's like, is that the canvas? What is going on? Hey, folks, be part of our Break Into Spring Text to Wind statewide contest. It's another awesome contest we're having here at Civic Media. You have a daily chance to win a Chula Vista Getaway, Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. Club level, Conrad. Where is that?
Those are great tickets.
That's near the club, right?
I mean,
on that one level?
It's right behind home plate, too.
They're great seats.
Yes, they're great seats.
Or $100 cash. Who doesn't need that? Plus, every time you enter and you put into your grant, every time you do an entry, it goes into the grand prize drawing of, get this, a brand new queen mattress set from Verlo. That's where my bed is from, but I have a king, but it's awesome stuff there. It's a new queen mattress set from Verlo that includes a mattress, sheet set, mattress protector, and pillows. What do you think that mattress protector is?
I have a mattress protector.
It's just a mattress pad, right?
Yeah, it's a mattress pad, but it makes
I've never heard it called a mattress protector before.
Yeah, it's just to protect, you know?
If someone tries to come in and stab you in the middle of the night.
Or you're eating some food late at night.
Okay.
You know, you drip down your PB&J.
Sure.
The jelly goes all over.
Someone could be a bedwetter. You don't know.
Yeah.
And pillows, ladies and gentlemen. You do have to download the app to play. That's the one catch. It takes about 2 seconds, though. The app is very easy to use. You won't regret it once you have it. So definitely download the Civic Media app and play our Break Into Spring Text to Win statewide contest. Text to Win times will be 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. Listen for the daily word and text it right back in on the app at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m., and you could win every day, a Chula Vista Getaway, Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats, or $100 in cash. It is a great contest. Be part of it. These are so much fun. We are not eligible. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're not eligible.
See, there's always a catch. But daily prize and grand prize. That's nothing to sneeze at. Can you tell sometimes I show up here to the studio and I've been alone all day and I have not spoken a word. It's like this is the first time I'm using my mouth. And I can't even get my words out.
I noticed that a little bit.
Do you? Would it kill you to say, hey, Pete, you're coming into work soon? Let's have a phone conversation. Let's have a little poetry slam or something to get the old lips flapping.
You know, you could do those acting things on your drive down here.
Yeah. Topeka Bodega. Topeka. Unique New York. Unique New York. Folks, I have a great show for you guys tonight. Two phenomenal guests. I'm very excited about this first guest. He made a film, a documentary called A Road at Night, and it tells the story of Howard Moore. Howard was a UW men's basketball player in the early to mid-90s, Chicago kid. Came up, he was on the first Badger team that made the tournament in 47 years. Rashad Griffith was on that team, Michael Finley, Tracy Webster. They just had a phenomenal cast of players. Howard was part of that. He went on to become a UW men's coach. And then several years ago, I want to say 6 years ago, he was involved in a terrible car accident where he lost family members. And John Roach, who will be here at 6:35, phenomenal filmmaker. He co-wrote The Straight Story, which was an Oscar-nominated film with Mary Sweeney, directed by David Lynch. And he created other stuff, too. He's a great producer, great filmmaker. He'll be here at 6:35 to talk about his new documentary, A Road at Night. It's the story of Howard Moore. And if you are a fan of UW basketball, there's so much stuff in there for you to... Stuff I forgot when I was watching it today. All these great stories. And great stories about Howard Moore and what a great person he was. And how infectious his attitude was. They called him several guys... on the team and coaches called him the best teammate they've ever had, which if you're not like Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, that's about the best compliment you can get. However, there was a tragic accident and John made a film about this and it's going to premiere at the Wisconsin Film Festival in just a couple weeks. So you can still get tickets for it. John will be on to discuss that and many other things I'm going to ask him. I had the opportunity to interview John on PBS Wisconsin a couple weeks ago, and he's a really good interview and a really good guy. He'll be here at 6:35. And then this is exciting too. You ready for this, Conrad?
Oh, I'm ready.
There's a new stage play, live theater, legitimate theater, as Homer Simpson would say. Ed Gein the Musical will be showing from April 4th through the 6th in Oshkosh, and a young actor named Ezekiel Drews, who plays Ed Gein in the show, will be here to talk about the show at 7:35. There's a whole cast of characters that are kind of semi-regulars on Nightlight. Dan Davies, and I don't want to leave anybody's name out, but I know Dan wrote the original independent film, which became a cult classic. I think our pal J.B. Thompson is involved with the film in some capacity. And Ezekiel will be here. He is the lead role of Ed Gein. He'll be here at 7:35. So two fun guests. And our question of the night, we got to get to this, Conrad. We're running out of time here in this first segment. It is National Cocktail Day. So our question of the night is coming up.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
If you could only have one more drink, that's it, what would it be? And I assume people will respond with a cocktail. Manhattan, old-fashioned, martini, a beer, good glass of wine, whatever it is. But you can only have one more drink. What are you choosing in honor of National Cocktail Day? I think for me, I think it would be a nice dirty vodka martini. Not total dirt, a splash of dirt. A little bit of olive juice in there, but man, for a guy who hasn't drank in 2.5 years, I think that's what I would do. What would you do?
It would have to be a mojito.
Oh, mojito's good too, yeah.
That's my favorite all-time drink, so it'd have to be that.
God, a margarita would be good too.
There's so many drinks to choose from.
Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What is your drink if you could only have one more? It's National Cocktail Folks Cocktail Day. Pour one and listen to the rest of the show and be here and join us and be part of the fun here on Nightlight tonight. We got a great show. John Roach coming up at 6:35. Ezekiel Drews at 7:35. And we'll read your text when we come back and talk a little bit about the Badgers. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Our question of the night is, if you could only have one more drink, what would it be? It is National Cocktail Day, ladies and gentlemen. And it begs the question, one more drink your whole life. What are you going to sip, nurse, suck down, guzzle, however you do it? Let us know what your drink of choice is. You can text us on the app. Very easy to use. And you need it to play the new Civic Media Spring Break giveaway as well. And it's very easy to text off the app. You can text us old school at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And if you're listening on the stream, that is fine too, folks. It's just great to have you. AJ says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I'm super excited for the Wisconsin Film Festival. That makes two of us, AJ. Will either of you be down in Madison during that time? And if I had one last drink, it would be an Irish coffee. I don't care about quality of coffee or liquor. Just give me coffee, whiskey, and some sort of Irish cream. Wow, that's a great answer. AJ, I will be at the Wisconsin Film Festival for the first 4 days or so. I'll be hosting the Meet the Parents event They're going to show the original film, the indie film shot by Greg Liana. I will be hosting the Q&A there. That's Saturday afternoon. But say hi if you see me. I'm all over the place during that week. It's a fun time. Brian from Milwaukee says, a Dirty Shirley. What was that? We had that. Somebody else liked the Dirty Shirley on the show.
What? I got to look it up. I got to go to the Google.
A Shirley Temple is a non-alcoholic, so maybe they just put whiskey in there. Maybe it's like an old-fashioned. It might have been Brian, too. Now I'm embarrassed. I forgot what a Dirty Shirley is, but...
So it's vodka, lemon lime soda, ice, grenadine, and then cherries.
Okay.
Maraschino. I think that's how you say it, right?
Sounds delish. Maraschino cherries, yeah. Tom from New Berlin says a 5-gallon muddled old-fashioned brandy, of course. Sure, I guess they never specified how big the drink could be. Tom says 5 gallons. I mean, if you're going to go that route, Tom, just say an endless drink. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My last drink would be a rum and Coke.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. That's a popular bar drink in Wisconsin.
It, or rum it and really diet. Is. Yeah. It really is.
We have a call.
Yes, we do.
Oh, who do we have?
Ollie from the Northwoods.
Ollie, how are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Well, I'm not a big drinker, but I will tell a little story about years and years and years ago.
Okay.
My sister and I went to a place, and they used to have a mix that was called Hereford Cow, and it came in flavors like chocolate or vanilla or banana or strawberry. And after we had a few, then we asked the bartender if he could mix us up one with all the flavors together. And he said, well, what do you call that? And we said, oh, we call it a stampede. So a stampede would be good.
A stampede would get the job done, it sounds like.
You bet.
Oh, Ollie, that's fantastic. Thank you, as always, for the call.
Okie doke. Bye-bye.
Right, have a great night. Right, maybe I would go with a stampede. I don't know.
That sounded interesting.
It did. From the 262... listening on WAUK, they say a Moscow Mule.
Oh,
there
yes.
You go. You said mojito, right?
I do, but okay. A good Moscow Mule is really, yeah. That's,
absolutely. Yeah. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, pour me a Blatz. Cheers. That's not a bad way to go. I mean, if it's your last drink, why tease yourself? Throw down a Blatz. I get it, Tyler. Carolyn from Heartland says, love a good Cosmo. Okay. You and Michael Scott from The Office. He loves his Cosmos. That's a great one. Monica from Mount Horeb says a chocolate martini. Believe it or not, I've never had a chocolate martini.
You know what? I had a key lime martini once.
Oh, that sounds good.
And it was amazing.
Monica says, also, the Bartell Theater in Madison is now playing films. This Friday is Hundreds of Beavers. Haven't seen it yet. Going based on your recommendation. Be sure and tell them it's based on our recommendation, Monica, when you show up at the theater. That's a great little theater and a great little movie, which isn't even a little movie anymore. I think it's grossed over $1 million as like a $150,000 independent film. Very funny. Would love to hear what you think of it, Monica, after you've seen it. Ed in Madison says, perfect Manhattan, 2 ounces of rye, 1 ounce of sweet vermouth, 1 ounce dry vermouth, 5 to 7 dashes of Angostura bitters. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I didn't know. Actually, I did know there was bitters in Manhattan. He says, shake with ice, 15 to 20 seconds, serve straight up with a thin orange peel, squeeze the peel over the drink. Ed in Madison. Well done, Ed. That was poetry, buddy. Steve in Florida says, in honor of Wisconsin being the dairy state, my last drink would be vanilla ice cream mixed with brandy. I think that's a Brandy Alexander, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Or very close to it, yeah. Conrad's mom checks in and says, I like Wisconsin brandy old-fashioned sour. I found out that other states do not make old-fashions the same way. Yeah, we're kind of like the old-fashioned state, I think.
Yeah.
We just do it a little differently here. I like whiskey old-fashioned myself.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of other states make it where you can really taste the alcohol.
Yeah, totally.
We do not here.
Right. Hey, are we good on that clip?
Not yet.
All right, we'll play it when John's here. We have a clip from the film A Road at Night. The director and producer, John Roach, is here to discuss his film, which will be playing at the Wisconsin Film Festival Sunday, April, I think that's the 6th. I think it's the 6th, yeah, at the Barrymore Theater. John is an accomplished writer, producer, director. He co-wrote The Straight Story with Mary Sweeney, and it was directed by David Lynch back in, I want to say, 2000 or 1999. And there were Oscar nominations tied to that film as well. He's a very talented guy. He'll be here after the news, and we will discuss A Road at Night. A film that, for me, it's a tragic story of Howard Moore, former Wisconsin basketball player and coach. But hearing these guys talk about him and talk about Wisconsin basketball in a weird way made me feel better about what happened this weekend. The story is not a fun story until the end. It's a tragic thing, but Howard Moore was just the story needed to be told. John did a great job telling the story, and it's about one of UW-Madison's own, a very cool film. And we will talk to John about that film after the news. Civic Media's news team, folks, is waiting to tell you what you need to know. So listen to it, absorb it, and move on with your life accordingly. John Roach is here in just a few minutes. Ezekiel Drew's at 7:35 talking about Ed Gein, the musical. We are coming right back. Do not go anywhere. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me tonight, folks, on this Monday night. I am Pete Schwabba, riding shotgun as always. Not always, but as usual. Conrad, the K-Man Krieger. Or is it Kruger? Kroger? I don't know what's going on with your last name, but...
one of those was good.
Ezekiel Drews will be here at 7:35 tonight, folks, to discuss Ed Gein, the musical, which will be playing in Oshkosh April 4th through the 6th. I would love to attend that, and I'm anxious to see that play, but I will be in Madison this year at the Wisconsin Film Festival, as I am every year, representing PBS Wisconsin and introducing films and hosting Q&As and having a grand old time at what is one of the most underrated and really cool film festivals around, the Wisconsin Film Festival. And playing at the film festival is a film called A Road at Night, a documentary about former UW-Madison men's basketball player and coach Howard Moore. It will screen this year on Sunday. I believe it's April 6th at the Barrymore in the evening. I will get that information to you. Or we can ask our next guest, who is the filmmaker and creative force behind the film, John Roach. He joins us now on the stream. Hey, buddy.
Pete, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Look at that! Look at that office chair, man. You are styling.
You know, if you're a director, you have to set up a good shot. You know,
that chair screams success.
It screams aging back from high school football. How's that?
That'll work too. Hey, great to have you. How you doing tonight, John?
I'm doing great. Got a little cough. I inherited another virus from my grandchildren, but doing fine. Okay. I'll kick it. Yeah, pretty good. Disappointed with the Badgers this weekend, but they had a wonderful season and it was a heck of a college basketball game.
You know, I was saying that before we went to the news, how much I liked watching your film today. I've still got a few minutes left of it because I got distracted, as I often do during the day, but it just made me so happy to be a Badger fan. You really showcase in the film that community in Madison, and sports, they have it. I think Wisconsin, they just won the state championship for girls hockey. It's just a great community.
National championship. Yeah.
National championship. And you brought that out in this documentary. Now it's about Howard Moore and it's kind of a tragic story. So before we jump into the documentary, can you tell us a little bit about Howard as a person?
Sure. So I knew him enough to nod at him in passing. If you're in Madison and, you know, you hang out around the university environment, I grew up like four blocks from Camp Randall on the near west side of Madison. And Tim Valentine, who's one of the executive producers along with George Hamill, Tim has represented as an agent Bo Ryan, Paul Crist, Greg Gard. So hanging with Tim, who's a great friend, I run into these guys or I meet him or I'm at a, you know, having beers with him. And so I knew Howard enough to nod at him. And obviously I remember him when he was an athlete. But I didn't know him that well. And to some extent, I think it made the piece better because there was a lot of a journalistic exercise in the documentary. There was not a lot known about the accident. We developed the backstory on Jennifer, his wife, because it wasn't just about Howard. Right. It was about Jade and Jennifer and his son, Jarrell. So I didn't know him that well, but after the first round of interviews with his teammates in the balcony of the old field house, it didn't take much to figure out that he was beloved, as was Jen. He was an unselfish player. He played a huge role in getting Michael Finley and Rashard Griffith and Tracy Webster to Madison, which really took the lid off the program, as Tom Oates says in the piece. And but it's not really a basketball story. Basketball is the stage upon which a bigger story plays out, and a more important story in some ways.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I was kind of trying to figure out today how to frame, how to bring you on. And because you're right, it is about his family and the horrible tragedy. It was a car accident in Michigan. But you have so much leading up to that story before we meet his family about Howard. And, you know, how do you tell people, like, if you went to someone, John, and said, I have this documentary, like, what's your elevator pitch? Because it's just a great story. Every aspect of it is fascinating.
It's the one line that jumped out at me was when the worst of times bring out the best in people. Because the community has just rallied around the Moors. And there's also a quote from James Baldwin that in doing the research I came upon. And James Baldwin's quote was, life is tragic and therefore unutterably beautiful. Because in the midst of this tragedy, there were so many beautiful moments. You know, his teammates came from all over the country within 12 hours. His hospital room was filled. There's been a tremendous amount of support for the Moore family. Tim Valentine's been helping the Moores out for 5 years. Several teammates. Well, here's a great example. We were shooting interviews in the Moore household of Howard's father, Howard, Trennis, his mother, and his brother Darnell. And all of a sudden there's a big truck in the driveway. And so we stopped taping because it was an audio issue, and a huge container is unloaded. Michael Finley had a hyperbaric chamber delivered to Howard's home to aid in his recovery.
Wow.
Who does that?
That's incredible. You
know? Yeah. Howard is in a Stryker bed. Moselle Peterson, his teammate, works for Stryker, got him the bed. I mean, Howard is beloved. Yeah. And when I interviewed his teammates, I was set to go. I mentioned one of the teammates that were, you know, shooting out at the Moore's house. I mentioned it to Chris Conger, who spent a lot of time on the bench with Howard. Howard had 100 points total in his whole career, but he was a great teammate. And I said, we're going to be interviewing Trennis Moore and Howard Moore Sr. and Darnell. And Chris Conger goes, oh, my God, Darnell. You know, he was 10 years old when we were playing. I used to sneak him into the shell in my duffel bag. Because if you remember, anyone who went to Wisconsin, getting into the shell was like trying to get into a nuclear missile silo. It was really hard to get in. And in the off season, all the varsity players would hold court. And Darnell would come up from Chicago to visit Howard. He was a great brother. And so Chris smuggled him in a duffel bag, and they'd, you know, set his duffel bag down at center court, and then a kid would jump out of the bag. So that's pretty good. There's just a lot of love in the piece, Pete.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of love in the piece.
Definitely. All right. So tell us about the movie, John, because people that are listening right now probably are wondering what happened. I kind of gave broad strokes, sure. But tell the story of the tragedy and how this documentary came to be out of that.
Sure. So Howard had returned to the University of Wisconsin campus after being there as a player to be an assistant coach, first for Bo and then for Greg Gard. They were, you know, coaches don't get a lot of time off, but Memorial Day is one of those little windows, you know. And so Jennifer, Howard, Jaden, and Jarrell were in their car. They drove to, in their SUV, they drove to Chicago to visit Howard's parents. And as many people do, they were leery of rush hour traffic. So they headed to Detroit to visit Jennifer's mother at about 11, 12 at night. So they would get out of Chicago. And it's about a 3-hour, 4-hour drive to Detroit from Chicago, but a lot faster if you're not hung up on traffic. So they stopped for gas outside of Ann Arbor, got back on M5, which is kind of like an interstate highway. And Jen took over for Howard at the wheel because Howard was tired. And while they were filling up for gas, a young woman named Samantha Winchester was leaving a bar that she was at with two friends. Her friend was a bartender and then a friend who is sitting alongside her. And Samantha consumed about 7 drinks, most of the majority of them hard liquor, in about 1.5 hours. And she was a slight woman. And her friend said, "Stay with me." She said, "No, I'm fine," to get home. She got on M5. And somewhere in the night, on this road at night, Samantha got confused and did a U-turn in the middle of the interstate and barreled down the highway and hit the Moors head on as they were coming around a turn on this interstate. The car was engulfed in flames. Jen was aflame. Howard was burned on the upper third of his body, but Jarrell was able to pull him out of the passenger side, went back to get his sister Jaden in the way back of the SUV. The family dog jumped into his arms, and he was trying to get Jaden out, but the flames were so bad, people were pulling him away. The dog jumped out of his arms to be with Jaden, and they both perished in the back of the truck. Oh, man. Jen perished later at the hospital. Howard's teammates sprang into action. But the heart of the story, Pete, it's about drunk driving. Once every 37 minutes in America, someone's killed in a drunk driving crash. And Samantha was a nice young woman. She and her friends didn't make one good decision that night. Not one. When they had several chances to make one good decision. And so I think that the doc is about when you head out into the night, be careful that you don't set off a cascade of events that can affect a family and a community forever. And you know, the storytelling came in because in order to know what was lost, you had to know the Moors.
Right.
You know, and they were truly beloved. Howard was an unselfish guy. One of the most troubling things about it is Howard was a wonderful athlete, 6'8", and he was one of the most garrulous guys you'd ever meet. And now he can't walk and he can't talk. And he lost his wife and daughter, and it's like the book of Job. I will say, George Hamill, who's an executive producer, and Tim Valentine, they just didn't sit idly by. Right after the accident, COVID descended upon the land. And as we came out of COVID, George really echoed what a lot of people were saying is, what's going on with Howard? How is Howard? And once George understood Howard's condition, which is very challenging, he and Tim were talking. They were actually at a football game. And they said, we got to do something for Howard. And we have to let people know what happened and how he's doing now. And we have to raise some money for him. So Tim is, and George is a great guy. His sister was in my fifth grade class at Blessed Sacrament Grade School in Madison. And they talked to me and I said, this is not just a 4-minute piece. To me, and I think they were thinking the same way, I said, this feels like a documentary. There's a lot of story to be told.
The film is A Road at Night. My guest is John Roach. He is the director of the film. It plays Sunday, April 6th at 7 p.m. at the Barrymore Theater and tells the story of the Moore family and a tragic accident. But not just, I mean, you also, you have the tragedy in there, John, but you have this great story about two really, including his wife and how they met and the kids and how Howard came up playing basketball. And I want to ask you a little bit after a very short break about his connection to Madison, and maybe we could tell a little bit more about the person Howard is to the listeners right now when we come back. John Roach is here. We'll get into that and learn more about Howard Moore after this very short break. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe, and we are doing Monday the way Monday should be done. We're talking about a couple of really cool movies. Ezekiel Drews will be here at 7:35 to talk about Ed Gein, the musical. We had a chance to talk to Ezekiel a little earlier, and we will play that at 7:35. Right now, my guest is John Roach. He is an accomplished writer, producer, and Wisconsin native. His most recent project is A Road at Night, and you can see it at the Wisconsin Film Festival. It tells the story of Howard Moore and his career at Wisconsin, and a tragedy that happened to his family during a drive from Chicago to Michigan. And John, as you mentioned, it's really a story about just people making a mistake and how it affects people. It was so fun in your film to get to know who Howard was, and I love early on his dad says, you know, his dad wanted him to go to Northwestern. He said, Dad, I want to go to Wisconsin. He took a visit to Wisconsin, and he said to his dad, I just want you to know, if I like the visit, I'm going there. He already seemed to have had a connection with Wisconsin. Is that because of recruiters, or why was he drawn there?
You know, I think it was just the vibe. Howard was more than an athlete. He was a student leader. He was like an ombudsman for the basketball program to the student population at large. And I think he just strolled around and said, this is me. I can do this. And, you know, there's so many beautiful little anecdotes. And the film, obviously, there's a tragedy, but there's so much. There's forgiveness, there's love, and there is hope. Howard's making incremental improvements every day.
Really?
And his son, Jarrell, is a star. He's just a wonderful young man. But one anecdote that I loved, Howard's dad, Howard Sr., who was retired engineer in Chicago, and I said, so you came up for all the games? He goes, I did come up for all the games. Sometimes my wife would go with Michael Finley's wife, and they would drive up, and I would take the country roads to Madison because I loved looking at all the cows. it's also about the undying bonds of teammates. There are certain experiences in your life, like being a teammate or being in the military in combat, or being in a rock and roll band, whatever it might be, where you're subjected to a certain level of intensity together as a group. And these guys are bound for life. They are brothers. And to be a witness to the love that they have for each other was an honor, truly an honor.
Yeah, that's a great, to me personally, that's my favorite thing about the whole film is hearing the teammates talk. Rashard Griffith, Michael Finley, and Tracy Webster. You forget Andy Kilbride, what a team they had then too.
Oh, they had a great team.
We'll talk about that in a minute, but we have a clip here that I want to play that we were unable to play earlier. But we have a clip from, this is a clip from A Road at Night, John's film, which will be playing at the Wisconsin Film Festival. Let's hear that now, Conrad.
Phone's ringing. I'm like, why is Joe Krabenoff calling me at 6 a.m?
I saw a tweet early that Saturday morning that just said, we're praying for Howard. And I was like, huh.
So now I'm just like, okay, this got to be something. So let me answer. I'm like, hello.
And like, hey, big bro, are you sitting down?
I pull over and I make the call. And Rashard told me what happened. And
he was hysterical on the phone.
And I was like, well, no, maybe it's somebody else.
It was Greg Gard. Coach, I got bad news for you.
You just can't imagine anything of that magnitude happening to a family and to someone that you love and you care about.
Really powerful. You have great interviews, John.
Thank you, Pete.
You've got Bo Ryan, Greg Gard, Barry Alvarez. I'll just tell you this. When I started we both discussed our connection to Chicago and Wisconsin.
Yeah, right.
I had only lived here for middle school and high school, and I couldn't wait to get back to the big city. But I became a Badger fan in like 1990, I want to say it was. I was working the
good timing, Pete.
I know. How about that? I was working the Funny Bone in Pittsburgh, and this guy comes up to me after the show and he says, hey, really great job. We start talking. Turns out it was Barry Alvarez's brother. And he said, My brother just took the, because I did a couple jokes about Wisconsin. He said, my brother just took the head coaching job for the football team. I was like, oh, no kidding. So I started following Barry Alvarez, and I was hooked on the football team and the basketball team as well. It was a great time to become a Badger fan because the school just took a different turn when those two teams in particular became competitive. And like you say in your documentary, it was the first time they made a tournament appearance for the basketball team in 47 years.
Well, what's interesting is that both the basketball and football programs were ascendant at the same time.
Yeah.
And Barry Alvarez knew all those guys because the basketball offices and the football offices were adjacent to each other in Camp Randall at that time. They hadn't remodeled anything, and the big television money hadn't dropped yet. And so, Barry, he just was great at working with young guys. He'd see Rashard wander through and Mike Finley wander through, and Andy Kilbride talked about how Barry's program fed the energy from what Barry was doing fed into the basketball program and vice versa. So it was just young guys having success in a program that it hadn't had any.
That's a great story. When we come back, can we keep you through the news, John? Are you good on time?
Sure.
All right. I'd love to ask you for some more questions. One of the ones I want to ask you about is a great story that Andy Kilbride tells about getting his hair cut. Howard wanted to cut his hair. And this just shows what kind of person Howard Moore was. It's a great story.
Absolutely.
You're going to want to stick around for it because it's just a great story. And we're talking about A Road at Night. It plays at the Wisconsin Film Festival Sunday night, April 6th at the Barrymore Theater. John will be there. And it's a great place to see a film and a great film. We're coming right back after the news here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't want to be your son. Only lover I'm ever going to need. A soft, sweet little girl's talk.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.